Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Everyone's freaking out. Oh my gosh, the Soviets are doing this. Well, what Dulles didn't reveal is that he was in the middle of implementing Project MKUltra.
There's some people here who believe that this is the best thing that ever happened in their whole life.
They struggled while they could. They screamed.
Oh no.
It was horrible.
Horrible.
It was a very serious game of propaganda that we were playing.
Your question again, what would I have thought had I known that
any of these substances
would have been given to
unwitting persons?
You mean a hostile agent of another government?
No,
I
mean,
think that was probably one of the things they had in mind.
I mean, testing it out on an American citizen.
Hello, citizen. This content creator is a confirmed conspiracy theorist and has been subject to repeated penalties for engaging in controversial rhetoric. Please proceed with caution. Trust the government. Remain silent. Your compliance is appreciated and, of course, non-negotiable. As always, I am the AI Overwatch assigned to the 21 CD podcast as a censorship agent. Here for your protection and the protection of the greater Commonwealth.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the 21 CD podcast. As always, I'm your ghost, John. Thank you for being here. I would like to let you guys know that the mothership is fully stocked with a brand new merch, and it is awesome stuff. So please go check it out. If you guys bought my posters in the last run, you know that quality is paramount to me, and that didn't change with this last release. These items of clothing are really high quality. These are not just like your regular Gildan shirts. These are pretty high quality stuff. And I've tried to keep the price as low as possible too. We also have the Patreon, and everything can be found at the mothership, 21cdstudios.com. Thank you. Bye.
Warning. The following information contains sensitive subjects involving multiple personality disorders, personality triggers, suicide, sexual assault, and violence. This episode contains information that could trigger you. Give it to your deprogrammer rather than try to examine it yourself unless you have a thoroughly reintegrated personality. Inevitably, it is impossible to weed out the triggers, since programming varies from person to person, from handler to handler. Thus, know that if you have ever been programmed, you may be triggered by information in this episode. Please proceed at your own risk.
This is probably only the second topic I've researched that actually made me feel pretty uneasy. Even just walking around my home, I felt like I knew something that I shouldn't, or I was digging in places I just shouldn't be. Because there are really only two types of people who go digging in these kinds of places. People like me, right? Or really, really bad people. And I'm not gonna lie, whether I was projecting something into my reality that wasn't there or not, I began to search for patterns in my surroundings even more meticulously, and some might say, nervously. Ironically, this is exactly the effect MKUltra appears to have on people. Not saying I'm a victim, I'm just saying. Everything you're about to hear has more or less been proven real. We're not looking for a shadow in the dark corners of a haunted house here, or a whiff of a phantom in the woods, or some kind of hybrid entity in a cornfield, or whatever. Monsters are real, and we can recognize most of them. They're not hard to see, your eyes are just closed. Have you ever considered the possibility that your thoughts and beliefs might be influenced in ways that you haven't even noticed? We all know that we develop the way we do because of our upbringing, the way we were raised, and the things we were subjected to from birth to this very moment. Our personalities, our responses to various situations, tastes, attitudes, sociological and psychological behaviors and tendencies, they're all influenced by something. Nothing comes pre-installed in your fetus brain except the wondrous truth of a divine creator. That's something that society kills off in us along the way. This is why any parents with common sense are concerned about the media their child takes in, the people that their child hangs out with, and the examples that they see at school and play. Children are very highly influenceable. What they don't tell you is that adults are also highly influenceable. You guys remember COVID? Studies are now saying that the vaccine damaged you far more than it could have ever helped you. And yet billions lined up to be injected over and over and over and over and over and over and over again with an untested substance for a sickness they didn't even have and wouldn't have killed them even if they got it. Now, of course, I know that the purpose of a vaccine is to prevent you from contracting something. Most people with an IQ of zero or above should know that. But in this case, it didn't even do that. So, my point is, if you think only children are highly influenceable and you can't be brainwashed because you're so smart, think again. Also, Epstein didn't kill himself. Formed in July 1947, the CIA had two main objectives: shield the United States from sudden foreign attacks and halt the expansion of Soviet communism into Europe and emerging nations. CIA operatives, soon nicknamed the Agency, found themselves on cold front lines of a decades-long standoff defined by nuclear deadlock, clashing ideologies, and a Soviet government that was fixated on absolute secrecy. And they were also playing with new weapons and technology, probably both sides, but definitely the U.S., because they obtained a trove of Nazi secret sciences, as well as all the scientists who were working on those sciences. Also Nazis. Some people just get past, though, I guess. If you can kill a ton of people really effectively, really fast, you're on Team USA. Oh, and by the way, Hitler probably didn't kill himself either. So, inside the USSR, the KGB and its predecessors terrified the populace into compliance, while abroad, they worked to destabilize Western-aligned governments. And in 1954, President Eisenhower received this sort of chilling top-secret report from a panel led by retired General James H. Doolittle that said, in essence, if the U.S. is going to survive, long-standing American concepts of fair play must be reconsidered. We have to learn to subvert, sabotage, and destroy our enemies by cleverer, more sophisticated, and more effective methods than those used against us. It may become necessary that the American people become acquainted with, understand, and support this fundamentally repugnant philosophy. The report underscored the looming Soviet threat to Western democracies, and it urged the United States to adopt this broader, more aggressive intelligence posture than anything conceived in peacetime. Thus, the CIA's covert operations branched out from Europe into the Middle East, Africa, the Far East, and even Latin America, even sending some scientists to the jungles of the Amazon to test lucrative poisons from frogs for use in their hypnotism of American citizens. Did you guys hear me say that? Even in the earliest days, the CIA ventured into secret programs. In 1951, it established the Technical Services Staff, the TSS, and these guys were creepy, and they were meant to harness American technological breakthroughs for espionage. One of TSS's first hires was Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, a Caltech-trained chemist selected to lead a small team of fellow chemists. Initially, they devised this plan and tested special inks for invisible writing, enabling the CIA agents to hide coded messages in otherwise mundane letters. But TSS also branched out. Couldn't just be invisible inks, that's boring. So they began to forge travel and identity papers. They began to print propaganda leaflets. They began installing secret microphones and cameras and crafting hidden compartments for spy equipment and furniture, briefcases, or clothing. And to the uninitiated, the TSS scientists' feats sometimes appeared downright magical. The stuff they were doing was blowing people's minds. In truth, they illustrated the third law of science fiction writer Arthur C. Clarke: any sufficient advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. In 1953, Dr. Gottlieb and his colleagues expanded their research to confront yet another unexpected Soviet menace. The Korean War had ground to a stalemate, and the alliance of North Korea, China, and the Soviet Union seemed to be mastering mind control, which could leave entire militaries or entire populations susceptible to communist influence. Now, rumors reached the CIA that Soviet agents were using mind control and newly discovered drugs to brainwash and manipulate individuals. So they thought, well, we want that. It appeared that the enemy, armed with a volatile mix of psychological tactics and experimental pharmaceuticals, had found a way to subvert a victim's free will. And the CIA's over in the corner like, hell yeah, brother. Although the United States had dabbled in this sort of similar research during World War II in the early 50s, Soviet progress remained largely unexplained. America urgently needed to crack the scientific basis of mind control and develop defenses against it, and if necessary, and it was definitely necessary, to harness that puppy for their own will. In March 1953, the director of the CIA, Alan Dulles, handed the 34-year-old Gottlieb command of one of the most closely guarded Cold War operations in America. Members of the TSS became part of MKUltra, baby. Dulles authorized TSS to carry out research and development of chemical, biological, and radiological materials capable of use in clandestine operations to control human behavior, essentially encompassing 149 sub-projects. MKUltra took its name from MK for TSS and Ultra, the highest level of classification during the World War II era.
I was a throwaway kid.
Tell me a little bit about your background. Tell me, if you could describe your childhood in a couple of sentences, how would you describe it?
I didn't have a childhood.
Tell me a little bit more. Tell me more.
I went to a reform school.
MKUltra remained one of the CIA's best-kept secrets for over two decades. Projects investigated how drugs and alcohol could alter behavior and how to protect U.S. operatives from Soviet mind tampering. This included covertly acquiring narcotics, human testing, sometimes, oftentimes, without the subject's knowledge, and forging contracts with hospitals, corporations, and individuals. Researchers looked into everything, from truth serums to ways to humanely pacifying guard dogs, by mixing powerful tranquilizers into their food, by shooting them with random inventions that could either kill or neutralize in other ways. Several sub-projects explored the peculiar effects of newly discovered mind-altering drugs, such as LSD and marijuana, culminating in an array of tools ranging from lethal poisons to incapacitating substances with basically no detectable trace. A major complication for these researchers in the early 50s was the lack of solid data on safe dosages for these strange new drugs. How do you think they got that data? Consequently, Gottlieb and his team experimented on themselves. At least that's what they say. What was really happening was the CIA was just basically doing LSD all the time on these operations, in group settings by themselves, for experiments, while working, like was the case in Operation Midnight Climax, when they went into these whorehouses and did LSD while watching people that they were secretly administering LSD. The CIA was just on drugs in the 50s, straight up, okay? Like, no joke, on drugs in the 50s, CIA, and they want you to be on drugs too. So they were trying to figure out how to get it into everybody. But by late 1953, a mishap with LSD in one of these group settings had devastating consequences. Dr. Frank Olson, stationed at the U.S. Army Special Operations Division Biological Weapons Lab at Fort Detrick, Maryland, assisted the CIA on MKUltra and agreed to attend a mid-November 1953 getaway at the secluded Deep Creek Lodge in Western Maryland, an event that was hosted by Gottlieb. Remember, Gottlieb's the guy who basically is in charge of MKUltra. Alongside several TSS agents and Fort Detrick researchers, Olson consumed, secretly, some LSD. After about half an hour, everybody who was secretly administered this drug was informed that they were secretly administered this drug, and they were told to record their experiences. And most felt minimal effects, but for some reason, Olson, according to the CIA, who had previously found him to potentially be interested in exposing the secrets of MKUltra, quickly spiraled into a very suspicious bad trip. As his condition worsened, Gottlieb's deputy, Dr. Robert Lashbrook, took him to New York City for psychiatric help, where, though Olson seemed calmer for a while, he ended up deciding to plunge to his death from a 10-story hotel window on November 24th, 1953. The LSD, as said, was administered by none other than Gottlieb himself, who had previously learned that Olson might be a security threat. A second autopsy later identified blunt force trauma injuries to Olson's head before his death, causing some people to replace the word jumped with dropped regarding Olson's departure from the 10th story of his hotel. By the way, this second autopsy was done by the family of Frank Olson because the CIA did just say it was a suicide. But the family was like, and then the second autopsy basically confirmed what everybody already thought. In an effort to preserve MKUltra's secrecy, CIA officials withheld details of Olson's demise from his family. Although allegedly no further fatalities resulted from MKUltra's experiments, more than two decades passed before Olson's widow received a delayed apology from President Gerald Ford and the CIA, along with a monetary settlement. Interesting. It's almost like something really happened, right? Frank Olson is often considered the only casualty of the MKUltra program, at least according to the CIA. I personally have a list of no less than 10 people that I think I could realistically attribute their deaths to the MKUltra program. Obviously, I'm not trying to end up in the ground because my coffee was laced with a fatal concoction, so that information will remain where it is. From its inception, MKUltra researchers explored lethal chemical and biological agents alongside truth serums and hallucinogens, extending earlier research from the Office of Strategic Services in World War II. A separate partnership, MK-Naomi, had TSS working with the SOD to create unconventional weapons and exotic poisons. One Army creation called the Non-Discernible Bio-Inoculator was a modified .45 caliber pistol that could silently fire a toxin-coated dart with lethal accuracy at up to 250 feet. The dart itself, thinner than a human hair, was nearly invisible and left minimal evidence during autopsy. Guys, this was back in the 50s. Who knows what we got now? The CIA was building an assassination arm, staffed by people who might essentially be mindless killers, controlled by the agency, and who upon capture would essentially be placed instantaneously in an alternate personality that lay dormant within their brains. This personality was not in the CIA. It was not a killer and knew nothing. This personality, in other words, was impossible to interrogate because housed in the alternate personality was no memory. So the enemy in this situation might have the body of the spy, of the agent, of the assassin, but they don't have the mind because the spy, the assassin, the agent is a product of MKUltra and therefore is able to shift into different personalities depending on the situation that they're in. And each of those personalities are highly trained, so much so that it's involuntary. Not trained as in you're getting better at painting. Trained as in you are getting more and more further from yourself to the point where these personalities, it's almost like walking in a trance. That was the whole point of MKUltra. Quite chilling.
Impressive for a floor show. But I'm not here for hypnotic tricks.
It's hardly a trick, Mr. Tusson. Hypnosis, yes, some, but what you're witnessing is much more than that.
You're certain they can kill?
Much more efficiently than you can imagine. Without fear, without passion, and without memory. Think of that. Not even the assassin knows who has done the work.
But these were still people who needed training. Because they knew they were in the CIA, obviously, when they were in their right mind, their effective mind. They had, the CIA had the soldiers, in other words, but they needed the weapons. Realizing that field agents needed to master covert tricks themselves, the CIA turned to John Mulholland, an eminent magician and author of multiple books on magic, for instruction. Mulholland was commissioned by Gottlieb to write a spy manual showing how illusion could help in undercover work. The aim was to teach field officers how to slip pills or other substances into targets' food or drink without raising suspicion. Mulholland accepted a $3,000 fee to write this manual, later dubbed MKUltra Subproject Number 4. Because it fell under the broader MKUltra program, secrecy was of course paramount. Elaborate security measures, written secrecy agreements, aliases, cover companies, and untraceable post boxes, post office boxes, and stuff like that, all made the collaboration incredibly hidden. Nobody ever found it. Mulholland and Gottlieb even corresponded under false names, including Sherman C. Grifford of Chemrafil Associates and Samuel A. Granger of the fictional Granger Research Company. To further safeguard the operation, Mulholland's writings never referenced the CIA. Operatives were called performers or tricksters, and covert acts became tricks. Boy, this makes you look at celebrities a little different, doesn't it?
I wanted to talk about, you know, Hollywood and the elite parties that explain all that stuff. The Dark Forces doesn't want me to release this information because this information needs to be known. But I knew it was coming back. See? It's back. You hear that?
A 16-year veteran of Hollywood feature film, television, and commercial production. He worked behind the scenes at all the major studios and networks. John left Hollywood, though, because he could no longer keep quiet about the things he was seeing, such as Satanism and bizarre occult activities.
You're like, yeah, I'm gonna be a superstar, but they're telling you what to do. They're writing the music for you.
Performers, tricksters, appearances of magic and fancy and sci-fi. Yeah, I saw Taylor Swift do all sorts of stuff like that on her last tour. Lady Gaga is doing it right now. And all those instances where celebrities appear to glitch.
Well,
I love ya.
But it is gonna bother you because you're human, and I was human. I am human still.
What's with that? There's a group of women in the audience that wish you would.
No.
Girls?
Whoa.
All right.
Sorry. Yeah, that's okay.
Maybe I should take off the hoodie.
Take off the hoodie.
Go ahead.
You want to? Are you hot? Go ahead. Here. Let me get someone. You all right?
Yeah.
This is a great moment in internet history.
What?
All right.
Bad news for the Obama administration. We have this new CNN ORC poll, which is quite a turnaround in
Yeah, it's a difficult title. It's a good, a good day to die.
But I suppose it's because you had kind of a good day, and if you would have died, well, so be it. Is that it?
That's right. That's a good question. Have a sandwich, and let's go shopping. Die hard.
That would have been your chosen time.
Well, it's about, I don't, it makes about as much sense.
It's pretty rough, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Ah, weird. Hello. Oh my goodness, hello. Ew, strong Brittany. Yeah, it was a weird time. Ew. I'm embarrassed. Can we stop?
Marshall Mathers. Some of you may know him as Eminem, but he's going to join the Saturday Night crew with our music intro starting next Saturday night.
Can you take us through what happened with the play with Jason Terry?
What play?
You ran off the court and hugged him and
oh, really? I gave up the layup. Attention. I didn't remember that.
You didn't know they were inbound on the ball?
What play are you talking about?
In the first half, you ran off the court and hugged Jason Terry, and Snell got a layup because you were off the floor.
Oh, I didn't even know I was in the game. Okay.
I was
very
Just friends, and he's a good man. Doing well. Long time. We've been friends for a long time. Life.
Maybe their MKUltra programmer is just slipping. These are real people, after all. Most likely. They just might be living in a reality that isn't real. And it might be largely against their will. Because once you are subjected to this program, it is nearly impossible to escape. And if you are going to be in the position to influence millions, if not billions, of people, you're not going to escape. You just continue to run in circles and show the masses the desired propaganda or message, and then one day you might slip completely and fall 10 stories to your death, in which case maybe a clone will be necessary to replace you. Somebody needs to go check on Justin Bieber, in other words. But Mulholland vowed never to disclose, publish, or even hint at the people or methods involved. Given the compartmentalized nature of intelligence, it's unlikely Mulholland knew anything about the other MKUltra sub-projects, and there were many. And there's no sign he crafted illusions for any specific operation. But he was teaching magic to CIA agents. And that's crazy. By the winter of 1954, Mulholland delivered some operational applications of The Art of Deception, which is another book, and Dr. Gottlieb was very pleased with it, and soon discovered another need for the magician's skills. The CIA required new covert channels of communication. Gottlieb asked Mulholland for insights on using magician and mind reader principles to communicate information non-electrically. This assignment produced a second, shorter manual called Recognition Signals. In 1956, Mulholland's CIA contract broadened again to include secret delivery methods, distracting maneuvers, manipulations of perception, disguise tactics, and covert signaling systems. He was building the perfect CIA magician. His work continued until 1958, when worsening arthritis and chain smoking took a toll on his health. In 1973, for some reason, the CIA just straight up destroyed these books, by the way, or at least tried to. Yet, this large-scale destruction, because it wasn't just the books, it was basically all the files of MKUltra, eventually backfired. In 1974, articles in the New York Times exposed alleged CIA abuses involving domestic surveillance, spurring a Senate investigation led by Senator Frank Church. Another action that was apparently halted, and yet now we know we are more monitored than ever. Even on a biological level, and from great distances, John McAfee tried to warn us about this not all that long ago. Do you guys remember John McAfee?
The deep state is a conspiracy theory it's defined as the people within the U.S. government and military who are in secret control of government policy. Secret? Please, people. The deep state is those people within the U.S. government that are career employees that cannot be fired by people that we elect, by the Congress or the President. There are the FCC, the CIA, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the IRS. Are these people in control? Can they enact laws? Fuck yes. They're called regulations. for every law that Congress passes, and we elect Congress to pass our laws, there are 20 regulations enacted by federal agencies that have far more impact on our lives than anything Congress can possibly pass. Is there a deep state? Yes. Can we fire these people? No. Can presidents fire them? No. It's designed that way so that political parties and political interests cannot affect the deep state. Do you understand the nightmare of our situation, people? I'm sorry. It's not secret. It's as open as anything could be. In the past, since 1975, 200,000 regulations have been passed by our federal agencies, encompassing 800,000 pages of fine print. People, it is no secret. It is as open as it can.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The deep state does control America. Wake up, people. Please, God, use some common fucking sense. Thank you.
But as you see, this has already been swept under the rug and begun its journey to ambiguity, because we are programmed on a massive scale to forget incidents like this. So for those who don't know the story of John McAfee, John McAfee was the wildest entrepreneur of modern times. A lot of imagery and stories related to him cannot be shared on Instagram or YouTube due to their nature, but here is a brief summary. McAfee was born in 1945 on an Air Force base. He quickly became a talented coder. He worked for NASA's Apollo program, and then he started McAfee Antivirus, which is basically on every computer, like by default, when you buy it from the store. And that started in the 80s, which became, and he, like I said, it became the leading antivirus, and later they sold it to Intel for like $8 billion almost. In 2012, he was accused of murdering his neighbor in Belize, who had apparently harmed his dog. So he fled the country, sparking an international manhunt. And the CIA thought, what a better time to pursue somebody than right now. He was arrested in Guatemala, but managed to avoid deportation by faking a heart attack. Over the following years, things just gradually became even more bizarre. He continued to evade capture, often wearing disguises. He hacked U.S. government officials. He married a prostitute who had been sent to assassinate him. Apparently, he survived 50-plus assassination attempts. He became a Bitcoin billionaire. He was also a two-time presidential candidate who unsuccessfully sought the Libertarian Party nomination for president of the U.S. in 2016 and in 2020. He was eventually arrested by the U.S. government while in Spain because he supposedly never paid taxes. He was found dead in his cell 8 months later. Apparently, his own doing. In my opinion, and it's just an opinion, John was a victim of a variant of the MKUltra program who did manage to escape. He attempted to warn us of this. He later claimed he would not commit suicide upon his arrest, but then he did, in prison. He also, upon his death, triggered a dead man switch, which released to the public many secret documents on a website that was both time and code activated. Some with insight might want to talk about that in the comments, as I did not have enough time to deep dive into those specific coded messages. Among the more surprising discoveries uncovered during the 1974 investigation of the CIA were MKUltra financial and administrative records that somehow survived. The Senate learned about a series of extremely bold LSD experiments, Operation Midnight Climax, where clients were lured by prostitutes into CIA safe houses in California and New York, secretly dosed with LSD, and then watched from behind one-way mirrors to see if the drug could be used as a truth serum or mind control tool. often being watched by, as mentioned before, CIA members who were also high on LSD. And though Gottlieb was retired, he testified over 4 days in October 1975. Most questions focused on drug experiments, with no mention of Mulholland whatsoever, the magician who was basically responsible for how these guys work. After extensive testimony and research, the church committee concluded that, aside from Olson's tragic death, and maybe one other death, MKUltra had not really driven any CIA personnel to commit outright illegal or criminal acts. John Mulholland kept his pledge of secrecy and died with it in 1970. He took his little role as the CIA's house magician with him. The agency's interest in using the magician's art for espionage surfaced only after declassified MKUltra documents came to light in 1977, and this revelation soon faded from memory until 2001, when magic historian Michael Edwards published an in-depth article in Genie magazine, followed by a piece in August 2003 from Richard Kaufman, and later Ben Robinson's 2008 biography, Magician, John Mulholland's Secret Life. Declassified CIA files, along with the Genie articles and Robinson's books, began to piece together Mulholland's illustrated manual on using magic in spy operations. And if you think adults were the only ones being experimented on, guess again. The agency was said to have unwittingly spiked children's drinks in school as well, especially Kool-Aid. How ironic. Really makes you wonder about all those people going missing these days, doesn't it? I wonder how many are in labs.
Neurophysicist Dr. Jose Delgado was financed by the Office of Naval Research. In this experiment, the bull is sedated. Electrodes are implanted in its brain. Delgado transmits an electronic impulse to the center of the bull's brain. Delgado has remote control of the animal. Recently released CIA documents refer to the feasibility of remote control of animals and that special investigations will be conducted toward the application of selected elements of these techniques to man.
Hello, class. Today we're going to learn about MKUltra and the power of mind control. Are you ready? Yes or no? Okay, don't be afraid now. When a proper specimen is located, the individual is usually unknowingly abducted or restrained. They're scared at first, but that's just because they don't realize they're about to become a super soldier. Just like in Stranger Things. 1. The individual is unexpectedly given drugs and placed in severe isolation, where they endure intense pain and are forced to witness profoundly disturbing events. The mix of trauma and drugs leaves deep, lasting psychological scars. Throughout this ordeal, a specific symbol is repeatedly shown, making it unforgettable. Like a personal nightmare. 2. The person running the show might wear a frightening devil-like mask or something equally disturbing, telling the individual that obedience brings reward, but disobedience, or telling anyone, means a repeat of the horrifying experience. We don't want that. 3. This process repeats for days, weeks, months, and even years. Once the subject is properly programmed, they are drugged again and released back into the environment from which they were taken, sometimes returning to fame or prominence. See? It wasn't all that bad. 4. From that point on, merely displaying the symbol, like that very specific mask from step 2, ensures they comply with whoever controls them.
For a long time, the subject might act only slightly off, or just like anyone else. Deep inside, however, they've got a demon placed there by a taboo science and torture. They'll behave normally, like celebrities do, and if they start acting erratic, their handlers might just claim that they're addicted to drugs, or they couldn't get over Selena Gomez. What I've described is just a fraction of what really goes on. Victims who escaped said the techniques were far more depraved than I can describe here. And some of the accounts that I read involve some of the most horrifying things that I've ever read. Some of this stuff I read was absolutely horrendous, and I would get banned on YouTube if I put it up. That's how bad it is. Unspeakable evil torture methods were employed by the CIA upon children and adults. Have you guys seen Stranger Things? It's technically Project Montauk, but same idea, same process. And honestly, Montauk was most likely an offshoot of MKUltra. Punishment for disobedience was absolutely brutal, the goal being to rewire the brain at its core so it automatically responds to a trigger, essentially creating a stress syndrome that was so impactful that it could not be escaped, that it was almost unknown that it was even there. You know how you black out traumatic things and they call it a trauma response? Layers upon layers of trauma responses until you are disassociated is what the CIA is going for and was going for. Obviously, this is done through massive, nearly indescribable trauma. Thank God I'm not in the CIA or any of those secret organizations, right? So I can't be subject to this. Not so fast, little guy. You see, the CIA world has no limits. There may be minor setbacks, but if they want you, they'll get you. So they possibly just started another program that you guys might know the name of. Maybe you were a victim of it yourself, and you have yet to find that memory in your brain because it has been manipulated out of you. And if you didn't go through it, don't worry. There's a really high chance you may have put your own kids through it without even knowing. On the subreddit rgifted, which isn't a conspiracy subreddit at all, by the way, I found this post. I was declared gifted in elementary school and placed in a program that, in hindsight, I'm pretty sure was fraudulent. How likely is it that I was falsely declared gifted? Now, this post had been closed, and on Reddit, sometimes the posts stay even after the account that posted them is deleted, and that's the case here. The post had been closed, and the poster had been deleted. Something that I consider slightly suspicious, but not necessarily indicative of alphabet intervention. Other things make it interesting. 295 accounts of people who had experienced similar things followed in the comment section. Imagine a room of hand-picked children, bright, inquisitive, entirely unaware of the hidden agenda unfolding around them. Officially, the GATE, Gifted and Talented Education program, was billed as an advanced curriculum to challenge young minds in the 90s. Yet, according to certain insiders and whistleblowers, it was far more than just an enrichment class. That's right. People allege that GATE was the next phase of MKUltra for kids, or at least a little offshoot. Remember that there were many different names, projects, monikers, and offshoots from MKUltra. That's how the CIA does it. That's how the whole government works. If they start to figure out that you're onto them, they just create a shell program, a shell project, a shell company, and they just keep doing the same thing with a different name, and they pay their fines, and they do their punishment, and they do all that kind of stuff, but they never stopped. Some people get fired, but I mean, they have like entire lines of people who are waiting to fill those roles, okay? It's not like these CIA programs never just go away because people discover them. I'll just put it that way. Here's the wild part. These theories suggest that the researchers behind GATE deliberately selected children who appeared to display particular psychological markers, intellect, creativity, and most importantly, susceptibility to suggestion. Under the guise of group projects and team-building exercises, these children were led through guided meditations and experimental mind-training sessions. Some literally recall being handed strange puzzles or subjected to tests that had no apparent educational purpose. Others talk about bizarre breathing techniques and focus drills that, in retrospect, felt more like hypnotic conditioning than classroom activities. Unsettling accounts describe entire afternoons in secluded rooms where students listen to eerie soundscapes, allegedly pulsing at frequencies meant to influence brainwaves. At the time, none of them thought to question it. After all, they're just kids. Who expects sinister forces at an elementary school? But years later, these former Gate kids share an odd sense of dislocation. They all have these scattered memories or some kind of uneasy feeling that they've lost time. And add that, this nature of the program's funding and the rumored involvement of federal evaluators, and the puzzle pieces start to form a disturbing picture. Alternative analysts argue that the Gate program's ultimate purpose was twofold. First, to see how effectively children could be shaped for potential use in intelligence or covert ops. And second, to lay the groundwork for advanced mind manipulation techniques that would become even more sophisticated in the digital age. Where are we at now, folks? If this sounds too outlandish, remember that MKUltra was once deemed a mere conspiracy theory, and honestly, people just got tired of hearing about it because it was a conspiracy theory, but no. Declassified documents prove it had indeed existed, complete with illegal LSD experiments and psychological torture on children and adults. This is real. Real stuff here. So, did a sinister faction of the intelligence community hijack a legitimate education initiative? For many who once took part in Gate, the question lingers, and the echoes of MKUltra continue to just reverberate through the corridors of public schools and their little brains. And one thing's for sure, the more you dig, the harder it becomes to dismiss this chilling possibility that Gate was anything other than just another program for gifted students. And a striking amount of the kids, now adults, who were in the program, agree. Elizabeth Nixon's The Monkey Puzzle Tree is a gripping blend of personal memoir and investigative reporting. It's, of course, set against this Cold War secrecy and paranoia, and the book details how Nixon's own family got pulled into government-funded mind control experiments, specifically those linked to Dr. Ewan Cameron's psychic driving research at the Allen Memorial Institute in Montreal. Dr. Cameron, who was the spitting image of your typical evil doctor scientist, he was a friend of the government and head of an association meant to protect the most vulnerable people. But instead, he conducted experiments with high-ranking medical and government officials on Canadian psychiatric patients. He called his work psychic driving. Cameron's goal was to wipe the brain clean. He gave patients colossal amounts of sedatives, mainly barbiturates, to keep them in comas for days or even weeks. Survivors say they were kept in semi-conscious or fully unconscious states for as many as 20 to 30 days straight, but 101 days is the typical amount that the CIA believed would be the breaking point. And that's the point. 101 days is kind of their goal to get to the brain to total erasure. Because these patients were bedridden for weeks, their muscles stopped working. Their bones began to ache. They got bed sores and other issues like involuntary bodily functions. Connect the dots. Some were left in their own waste, leading to infections and skin ulcers. In some accounts, poor hygiene caused rashes, open sores, and death. Upon finally awakening, many had no memory of who they even were. Some failed to recall their names or recognize family. The abrupt shift from a near-death state back to forced therapy triggered panic, psychological distress, and even hallucinations and violent outbursts. Cameron used high-voltage electroconvulsive therapy and more frequent intervals than he should have. Where standard electroshock might be used once or twice a week, Cameron sometimes applied it two or three times a day, raising the voltage to unsettling levels. There's a movie about this. He occasionally combined several shock sessions into a single day. What he referred to as intensive or repeated electroconvulsive therapy, causing severe short and long-term neurological damage. Duh. Patients often emerge disoriented, incoherent, and visibly trembling.
Tell me about the acid. I'd rather not. It's a bad trip. That was a bad trip. The pain was so excruciating. It felt like somebody was sticking me with a million pins. You know, just everywhere. Oh, it just... I walked around.
What's up?
Oh, I can talk. I lived through it.
Besides the psychological toll, repeated ECT at such strength could cause bruises, burns, broken teeth from biting down too hard and clenching, and in rare severe cases, fractures resulting from uncontrolled muscle contractions, migraines, facial pain, and jaw pain were also common afterward. Without proper consent, Cameron administered LSD, mescaline, and other psychoactive drugs to patients already weakened by sedation and repeated electroconvulsive therapy. The aim was further destabilization, breaking down all defenses. Administered in high doses or over multiple days, these hallucinogens plunged patients into never-ending nightmares, paranoia, and even psychosis. Some felt they were dying or trapped in a hellish realm, screaming for hours while staff noted clinical observations. In some experiments, LSD or other hallucinogens were used right before or right after a patient was roused from a drug-induced coma, making them delirious and terrified. Stacking trauma upon trauma only heightened the confusion. Following this depatterning phase with the ECT and the barbiturates and the hallucinogens, Cameron subjected patients to psychic driving, which involved strapping headphones on them and playing repeated audio message for 16 to 20 hours a day. And these ranged from mundane affirmations like, "You are a good mother, you will get better," to more menacing commands like, "Don't eat that or you will be beaten with a bat." Patients, still disoriented, were often tied down so they couldn't remove the headphones. Some wore football helmets or other gear that would block external sounds, adding claustrophobia to the torment. Regaining just enough clarity to understand they were being tortured, some patients tried to scream or thrash their way to release. Others slipped into a near catatonic trance, their minds sort of struggling to filter out the unending recorded voices. And since these messages played day after day, patients lost their own inner voices. Many described a crisis of identity, unable to tell which thoughts were their own and which had been implanted. Isn't it interesting how roughly 50% of the population doesn't have an internal monologue anymore? Isn't that weird? Considering what I just read, numerous participants left with massive holes in their memories, forgetting childhood events, milestones, or how to perform even the most basic of tasks. Some had to relearn things like reading and writing, or even how to use the bathroom. Prolonged high voltage shock, continuous sedation, and heavy drug use left some with tremors, poor coordination, or speech problems. A handful reported stroke-like episodes, partial paralysis, or even extreme weakness in limbs. Survivors spoke of relentless nightmares, flashbacks, and depression. Many feared hospitals or doctors for the rest of their lives, some feeling they could never fully recover their senses of self. Crazy. Patients were told this was therapy for depression, anxiety, or other mental illnesses. Very few knew the risks or the true nature of the research, nor that the agencies such as the CIA were funding part of it. Many were discouraged from discussing their experiences, obviously. Those who complained were dismissed, gaslit, or threatened with extended stays if they didn't comply. When investigators looked into these issues, files were incomplete and missing. Families seeking answers ran into hospital administrators, government officials, or even medical associations that had a vested interest in keeping this whole scandal under wraps. In the end, Nixon's book and Cameron's crimes sparked deeper questions. How far should a society go in the name of national security? At what point do secret experiments, however urgent, cross a moral line? If you're thinking, great, just don't join the CIA, don't go to public schools, don't end up in an asylum, then it might seem like this nightmare called MKUltra could only have touched a few unfortunate souls and you might be spared. Right? Wrong. Right around the time Frank Olson allegedly tried to see if LSD gave him wings or if it was just Red Bull, Ken Casey entered the scene. Yup. The guy who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Are you starting to realize how deep this all goes? There's no escape, buddy, except turn off everybody's device that everybody owns, take a deep breath, take all your clothes off, and run into the woods and never return. Become an animal. Even then, you might find some kind of device in your brain or in your guts or even in the woods. But anyway, I bet you didn't know that that book was most likely influenced by MKUltra. Wasn't it required reading in high school, by the way? Anyway, in the late 1950s, Ken Casey, who was then a creative writing student at Stanford, needed cash and volunteered at the Menlo Park VA Hospital. Oh, and by the way, this is the same school that the alleged killer of MLK Jr. went to. Also, one of the victims of MKUltra, who upon being thrown in prison without a real trial, immediately fired his lawyers, claiming this whole thing was an elaborate setup, leaving many to believe that there were MKUltra assassins, plural, involved, multiple of them. One was trained to run, and one was trained to shoot. Guess which one got caught? The runner. That's right. James Earl Ray was a patsy, trained to do on command what he did best his entire criminal career, run from the law and subsequently get caught. He always got caught, leading many to believe that he just did crime because he liked the chase. It's easier, I've heard a member of the CIA say, to train somebody to do on command what they would normally do anyway than it is to train somebody to do something that they would never do.
And people want to know, did you pull the trigger?
No.
Who did?
I don't. Actually, I don't know. I couldn't just be speculation, but I don't think we'd ever know all the details until.
Dang. So, in other words, even the stuff that you normally do, that you just think is stuff that you like to do, might not even be of your own free will. Ray long insisted that he was coerced or guided by a mysterious figure, only known as Raoul. Though there's no mainstream confirmation that this individual existed, conspiracy narratives often describe Raoul as an intelligence asset who psychologically manipulated Ray, a scenario they link to MKUltra's broader toolkit of hypnotic techniques and mind control tactics, and who also, for some reason, paid Ray a lot of money right after getting out of jail for a different crime prior to the MLK Jr. killing. Anyway, back to Ken Casey. He was a test subject for LSD and other psychoactive substances, willingly, for extra cash at Stanford. Allegedly, he had no idea that the CIA was funding parts of it through various front groups and grants at the school. And years later, declassified MKUltra documents revealed that universities and hospitals sometimes got CIA money for drug research into mind control. So it's in the colleges, the schools, and the hospitals, guys. Are you hearing this? They put it in the school system. They put it in the healthcare system to test mind control on unwitting people. These funds funneled through foundations, grants, or bogus organizations. Casey's LSD intake might have been part of a bigger plan to see how a free-thinking artist would react to psychedelics, though. The agency wasn't just testing physical effects. It was gauging how LSD might shift an entire cultural movement through influential minds like Casey's. He was an artist. He was either an unwitting pawn or he was this useful idiot who just helped popularize LSD with students, artists, musicians, schools, and activists, many of which went on to become famous and impact our entertainment industry today, guys. Those key questions need to be asked. One of them is, did the agency see LSD as a way to distract counterculture youth from more dangerous forms of rebellion? We gotta keep them sedated. We gotta keep them high. After Menlo Park, Casey rose to fame with One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and later led the Merry Pranksters, traveling the country in a day-glow school bus and holding acid tests, which were wild parties packed with LSD, music, and often involved these all-night ragers. And then, an obscure band, the Warlocks, who later changed their name to the Grateful Dead, played at these events, turning LSD into a cultural milestone for an entire generation. It's crazy, dude. It's all the CIA. It's all the CIA. While many view this as a natural spark for, like, 1960s idealism, people with half a brain think it was a CIA plot to maybe observe or even spur this sort of LSD explosion, monitoring how it could fragment or redirect social movements. Declassified docs show intelligence agencies were tracking big figures in counterculture. John Lennon, Timothy Leary, Allen Ginsberg, Casey. Some argue Casey's flamboyance gave the CIA this front row access to the drug culture. Thus, the CIA's mind control department poked its dirty little fingers into the music industry. And maybe that was just the beginning. Come to think of it, it always looked like so many people on the red carpet were tripping balls. Today, MKUltra is misunderstood. It's often seen as a joke or a plotline in a movie. Something that's just talked about so much that it's become boring. It's not real history. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Modern interpretations argue that mind control research only shifted to subtler, more technologically advanced methods. Even in the 50s, they were able to hypnotize somebody by aerosol. They could spray an aerosol into the air and it would put people into a state of hypnosis, guys. What about chemtrails? Instead of LSD-fueled parties, the research literally might now focus on social media algorithms instead. Targeted propaganda. Digital psychological operations, the psyops that everybody accuses me of being. Rather than secretly dosing citizens, intelligence services could manipulate online content to guide beliefs and actions more precisely and covertly, all the while poisoning your food and hitting you with aerosols and these digital versions of LSD.
Daniel sat in front of the screen, as he did many nights, lost in thought. He was thinking about Isabel, the love of his life, a life tragically cut short by the freak knitting accident. A knock on the door suddenly resurrected Daniel from his reverie. Little does he know that Bart, his archenemy, is on the other side of the door with a shotgun, waiting for him to open the door so he can cut him in half.
Who said that?
Said Daniel. It was clear that Daniel was clueless about what was really going on.
The fuck is going on?
Daniel asked while looking around for something he could ask another question of, apparently.
Stop!
He exclaimed.
Stop!
He exclaimed.
No! No.
He exclaimed. Daniel broke down into incoherent mumbling, and he continues to mumble incoherently, even to this day. You see, Bart was not on the other side of Daniel's door. It was me. I am the overvoice. I lurk outside your door, and sometimes, while you sleep, I whisper in your ear things, dark, deep things that you want to forget but cannot, because I'm with you. I'm by your side while you scurry to and from your secret dealings. I'm your partner in deviation from rules and expectations. I'm the overvoice, and I am coming for you.
They can just turn you off whenever they want. The terrifying part is we only know about this because it got declassified pretty much by chance, and we happen to find like 1% of the documents. We have no clue what actually was going on with MKUltra, because the CIA conducted a massive purge and destroyed like 99% of what actually happened under MKUltra. An operation with numerous subgroups that we still know nothing about. So the CIA must just think it's fine for us to know about this, which is pretty creepy. Just imagine what else they've got up their sleeves while we're too busy dissecting this from 70 years ago. But what I'm trying to point to is that this isn't just 70 years ago. 70 years ago, it started. And we have no idea where in the journey we are now. I can't help but wonder what's going on behind closed doors. Listen, guys, if I end up jumping out of a 10-story building with a self-inflicted gunshot wound in the back of my head after this goes live, remember, don't drink the water and question everything. See you.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.